Hi there, and welcome to Learn Roslyn Now. Today we're going to take a look at workspaces in Roslyn. So in past videos of Learn Roslyn Now, we've dealt with documents and syntax trees and semantic models for these trees. But the Roslyn workspace layer works at a much higher level. It deals with solutions that contain projects and projects that contain documents, and it sort of governs the interactions between these objects, like how you add documents to projects and so on. In particular, today we're going to take a look at the MS Build workspace. So I've got a solution file here, just a regular SLN file for the Newtonsoft JSON project. And the MS Build workspace understands solution files and CS proj files and sort of traditional files that we've been using in Visual Studio for a long time. It doesn't actually understand the new DNX stuff. Maybe at some point they'll create a workspace for that. And we'll talk about other workspaces like the Visual Studio workspace in other videos. And who knows, if they make a DNX workspace, we'll probably create a video to walk through that. But for now, we'll just use the classic MS Build workspace. And the way we sort of get an instance to this is by just going msbuildworkspace.create. And there's a few different overloads here. One, if you're sort of an MS Build pro and you want to pass in custom properties that change how these projects are loaded, this is where you pass those custom MS Build properties in. But for us today, it's going to be fine just to create it with the defaults. So now we've got an empty MS Build workspace. We want to load a solution into that. So we'll go msbuildworkspace.openSolutionAsync, and it expects a path, which we've already created. And this is a asynchronous method, so it's going to give us back a task. And normally you'd await this, but today we're just gonna be lazy and force it with a dot result. And we'll just start running this to see what's going on here. So this solution has inside of it, it tells us that it belongs to an MS Build workspace, not some other kind. It's got a path. It's got a version, sort of the last time it was saved on disk. Sort of some supplementary information there. And what we'll do is we'll just iterate over all the documents inside of this. So we'll go var project in solution.projects. And then we'll do another one for var each document in project.documents. And we'll just get the maybe the name and the file path for this. So var name is equal to document.name. Var file path is equal to document.file path. And this should kick off, and we can take a look at some of the documents that exist within this Newtonsoft JSON project. So we can just browse through here, and we can see there's some JSON reader exception, so probably some custom exception that they've got, something for J tokens to govern equality between them, JSON array contract. And maybe what we'll do is we'll open up one of these files, so I'll just copy the path from there. We'll just open up this JSON array contract, and we can see it's just a C# file. And the reason I want to have this open is because we're going to change this file, and we're going to save it to disk, and we're going to use the MS Build workspace to do that. So I'll also copy this this name here. And what we'll do is we'll just get an instance to just this document. We don't need to read through all these other documents. So var document is equal to solution.projects.selectMany. And then we just want our documents. Oops. And we want them where their file path or their name is equal to, and I had saved it. So JSON array contract. And I think there's probably just one of these, but it's possible this one might exist in two. So we'll see if an error gets thrown here. It looks like everything checks out and we've got a single document here. So what we can do is we can look at sort of the different ways in which we can manipulate documents. I don't think we did this in any previous videos, but you can manipulate the source code kind, which just is saying, is this a regular C# file or is this sort of one of the new interactive script files that they just introduced in the latest update to Visual Studio 2015. You can manipulate the syntax route. So if you want to pass in custom syntax trees, you could do it this way, or you can just update it with text, which is what we'll do. And this expects just a source text object. So not quite as easy as just a string, but it turns out source text is pretty easy to create. You just go source text.from, and here we can pass in a string. This is invalid C sharp, so this won't compile. And go quickly back and look at. There's also some options for encoding and checksums for these files, but for us, it's going to be enough to just pass in the source text here. And we're going to want to save this new document in a new file because all of these objects, or most of the objects in Roslyn, are immutable. So if I just had document.withText source text, it wouldn't have done anything. It returns a document, and this new document is going to be the one with our text, and we can just double check that by doing new document.getTextAsync. And we'll be lazy again and just force it. But we should be able to see that we just get our this is invalid C sharp text back. But if we go var test2 is equal to document, so the original dot get text async, we'll see that nothing actually changed for that first document there. It still has everything there. And if we actually go back to our other file, we'll see, you know, nothing's changed on disk either. And the reason for that is all we've done is we've created a new document based on the old document with our changes in it. We haven't persisted these changes anywhere. It sort of just exists within memory. But what we want to do now is save this back to disk. And there's one more point I want to make about immutability. When you create these new documents, it's not just the document itself which is new. It's the parent project. You know, if you go new document dot project, this project here will be new as well. And if you go project dot solution, this solution parent solution will be new as well. They'll be different than the original documents project and different than the original documents solution. Now, when I say they're new projects and new solutions, I don't mean that they're brand new projects with no documents inside of them. I just mean that they're new instances of a project, and they have all the traditional, like they have all the documents that belong to it before with all the right text. The only difference is now they have this new child document inside of them. So this stuff can be a little bit confusing at first, and it takes some playing around with to understand the immutability and how these things interact with one another. But just understand that when you make a new document, it belongs to a new project and a new solution, and that you have to somehow persist this somewhere if you want to. So what we'll do now is we'll just clean up all this stuff, and we'll save this back to the MS Build workspace. And the way we do that is we use msbuildworkspace.tryApplyChanges, and we pass in a new solution here. And this will be the solution in which our new document exists. Now, it's important to notice that this is tryApplyChanges, not just applyChanges. And the reason for that is it has the potential to fail. So you should check the result here. And sort of the conditions that might cause this to fail, at least from my understanding, I've actually never seen it fail, but would be if you had, like, you know, a bunch of different threads applying changes to this workspace at the same time. That can be sort of confusing. And as I say this, people might say, well, doesn't immutability solve that problem, you know, of concurrent writes from threads? But it turns out this MS Build workspace and workspaces in general are one of the very, very few places in Roslyn where there is mutability. So if there was like 10 threads with an instance access to this instance, and they're all, you know, trying to apply change to this MS Build workspace would be changing under, you know, the feet of those threads, and they'd be seeing different values coming into that workspace. And the way you usually deal with this is you don't necessarily operate on a workspace. You take the solution from the workspace, which you can guarantee that solution will be valid. It won't get changed in the future. And then you make all your changes to that, and then you try and apply it back to the workspace, which is what we're doing here. And now if someone came along and they manipulated the workspace while you were doing all your stuff, you might have to recalculate your work and try again. But like I said, in practice, I haven't seen this fail. I don't think, like, ever for me. I'm guessing the Roslyn team does, because when they have a Visual Studio workspace and you've got all these extensions and stuff trying to write to it, I imagine you start to see some changes there, and you've got changes loading from disk and stuff like that. So it must fail for them. But for the most part, you know, all you do is try apply changes and it works. And what we'll do is we'll pass in our new document, our project, and the solution for this. And like I said, these are all new objects that were created when we did this. So when we do this, we should hopefully get a true. Yeah, so it says it succeeded. And we can go and we can check on disk that this is about to reload. It's updated it on disk. By the way, that's sort of unique to MS Build Workspace. Some of the other workspaces, when you try and apply changes to them, it doesn't instantly save them to disk. You have to do, you know, one step more. Maybe there's some save function or something associated with this custom workspace. Some of the solutions, you know, they don't necessarily have to exist on disk. It could be like an entirely in-memory workspace or in-memory solution. So it doesn't necessarily get saved to disk. But the implementation of MS Build Workspace dictates that it comes from a solution on disk. And when you apply changes, it updates that solution and all its documents on disk as appropriate. So that's sort of, there wasn't a lot of lines of code here. There was like 10 lines of code that we wrote, but there was a lot of new concepts to learn about MS Build Workspace. And it can be sort of, a lot to get your head around. I've got a blog post about all the different kinds of workspaces that I'll link in the notes below. And if you have any questions, just ask them in the comments or, you know, message me on Twitter and I'm more than happy to help out. Thanks for watching, and we'll try and get to the Visual Studio Workspace later this week. Thanks.